It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the bush of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. So good to be with you today here at Bible Home Church. You know, we're into a very, very important series. I don't know when I've been more inspired by a sermon series than this one. The tears of Jesus. What would make our Lord and Savior cry? You know, I've said, and you're going to hear me saying it in this series, I don't want to ever make Jesus cry. And so I wanted to know why our Lord did cry. And there are two incredible examples in the Bible of Jesus crying. And you know, Jesus didn't cry even when he was on the cross. There's no record of it. He didn't cry when he was betrayed by Judas and when so many left him because, of the truth of his teachings. He didn't cry when he was scourged and they put the crown of thorns on his head. And yet he should have been given another kind of a crown as king of the universe. No, he didn't cry, didn't shed tears, but there were two times when he did. And that's what we're talking about on this program in this series. And I think it's going to be an inspiration to you to know about these. And as a Christian, it's going to break your heart and you're going to say with Tex Mars, I don't want to be the instrument for Jesus crying. No siree. Not at all. And so this is so important. You know, I want to thank each of you before we begin the series today. And, of course, we're going to have our beautiful music as we always do. But I want to just again tell you how much I appreciate your love gifts to this ministry. You're able to keep us going, and a lot of you have been very generous with your financial resources. And we are reaching so many people through Bible Home Church across this world, across the globe. And you're part of it. You're a partner here. You're part of the family of Bible Home Church. You're a member. You're an associate by listening to us. I claim you, my friends. I sure do. You can formally become a part of this fellowship by writing to us and telling us, giving us your confession of faith, your profession, I should say, of faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in John 3:3, you must be born again. Now, you can easily go down and join any church, and they have certain rigmarole you have to go through. Some of them, they just say, just fill out this little card and you're a member. But we ask one thing of you. We want to know from you, because we trust you. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord? Just say, Tex, I have been born again. I'm a believer in Jesus. He's my King. I believe you. And we will accept you as a full member. Now, if you're a member of another church, you can be an associate here. Nothing wrong with that. Your pastor may say there is, but he can't show you that in the Bible. What the Bible says is forsake not the assembling. It doesn't say you have to be a member of one church, a certain church, the neighborhood church, the Baptist church, the Pentecostal church, or the Catholic. And don't listen to anybody else that says you have to be a Church of Christ or Methodist or whatever. That's all malarkey. What you need to do is to believe in Jesus. Believe. Have faith. Repent of your sins and be born again, according to John 3:3. And tell us that has happened to you at one time or another in your life, maybe today. Maybe when you've heard this tape today about the tears of Jesus, you'll give your life to Christ. We want to hear from you if that's so. We want to take you in as part of our fellowship. You say, well, Tex, I can't be part of your fellowship. I'm here in Toledo, Ohio. I'm in Seattle, Washington. I'm in Boise, Idaho. I'm in Singapore, Hong Kong, Rio de Janeiro, Manila, the Philippines. So what? God is everywhere. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He knows your heart. And we are gathered today through electronic means. We're assembled today. And where two or three are gathered in His name, there Jesus promised He would be in the midst thereof. I believe Jesus is listening to us. That's why I'm so very careful when I do these programs, to make sure everything is literally from the Scriptures, not from my own mind. Certainly it's from my own heart, but it has to be from the Scriptures or it's of no value to you whatsoever. I believe in the literal Scriptures as perfect, inerrant, without error, and I'm talking about the King James in English. And if you don't believe in the King James Bible as God's Word, I'll still love you, but I'm going to preach to you about it. Some people say, oh, Tex, you go too far with that King James Bible. How can you go too far contending for the faith once delivered to the saints according to the book of Jude? How can you go too far? You can't go too far. There's nothing more important than defending the Bible and telling people about Jesus. That's what we're going to do today. Now, before we begin, let us know if you enjoy this program, and I hope if you're able to tuck in a little love gift to the ministry, or maybe a big love gift to the ministry. That's up to you. And if you don't have 1 cent, you can still write to us and say, Tex, I'm praying for you. Now, don't tell me you can't do that. Maybe you have time and you don't have money. Well, then spend some time on your knees for Bible Home Church and Pastor Tex Morris. That's a pretty big payment, I think. But many of you can afford some amount, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. We appreciate it. I don't want to get into a big commercial. I want you to know something. If you give $20,000 to this ministry, we're not going to give you some fancy certificate for your wall. We're not going to call you some fancy name. I'll tell you what's going to happen. I think you're going to go on some roll up in heaven. That's where you're going to find out about all your good works. You're going to get crowns and rewards in heaven. And I'm telling you, we're going to be very thankful here, and I'm going to appreciate it. We don't have any favoritism here. We don't have like golden members and silver members. I've seen churches that do that. If you give so much, you'll be a golden member. If you give this much, you're silver. If you give this much, you're bronze. And I give, if you don't, I guess if you only give a little bit, you're a garbage member. I don't know. I know that's not true. They don't do that. We don't do that. We don't believe in that because some people are able to give more than others. But I'll tell you what we do believe in here. We believe in being thankful. And you know, when you give to this ministry, I'm thankful to God for you. I ask Jesus Christ right now to bless everyone who gives to this ministry. Now, that's the best thing I can do for you. Yes, I do. I see the people who give. I look at your donations, and I know your names. And I'm not going to discriminate against you even if you do not give. I want you to know that. But I do appreciate it. And more than that, I thank the Lord Jesus for it. Well, write to us, would you? Again, even if you don't give a cent, I want to emphasize that because so many say, oh, you're just asking for money. Write to us anyway. Tell us if you enjoyed this message. Give us some encouragement. I'd appreciate that. And let me know you're praying. I know I'm only alive because of the prayers of the saints. I've been having some physical problems recently. And you know what I've been saying to God every day in my prayer? I'm going to praise you anyway, Jesus. You know, our bodies are aching and getting old, and we're going to be with the Lord someday. I hope I have some years left, but that's up to God. I always end with a smile on my face, even if I'm hurting in the body. See, the Lord can heal me if He wants to, but that's up to Him. It's His will, not mine. You say, Tex, you just don't have enough faith that God will heal you? Don't tell me that nonsense. You know, that's what Job's friends told him in the book of Job. Oh, you've done something wrong, Job. You've got some sin in your life or you wouldn't be hurting so much. He said, get away from me. You're a bunch of tools of the devil. And I'm paraphrasing Job, but that's what he said. And you know what he told God? He said, even if you slay me, Lord, I will still obey you. Even if you slay me, Lord, I will still obey you. And that's what I tell God when I pray. When I'm in deep pain, and I've been in pain lately in my body, I just said, well, Lord, I praise you anyway. I thank you for what I'm able to do. I'm not complaining for what I cannot do. I thank you for what I'm able to do. Wanda says to me, oh, that's really terrible. You must feel so bad. I say, I feel great in my mind, in my spirit. I'm in high spirits. I'm not depressed. This sickness doesn't get me depressed at all. I'm happy. Now, if I scream out in pain every once in a while, just don't pay any attention. Just go on about your business. Oh, well, you know, it's wonderful that we have the Lord, don't we? And I understand, maybe, I don't know why God is letting me be ill right now, but I suspect in due time he will heal me. Sometimes I wonder if we don't get sick because God wants us to have empathy for other people who are sick. Think about that. If you never had any pain, if you never got sick, you wouldn't understand it when other people did. Tell you, I was born poor. I was born, talk about the ghetto or the slums, I was there. When I was a little kid, we used to chase rats for fun in our apartment building, in a ghetto, in a tenant house. Go to sleep at night, and I'd wake up at night with big cockroaches crawling over me sometime. It was a terrible existence. I didn't worry about it too much. I just went on. Right across from my street, there was a liquor store. I'd go over there and play in front of the liquor store at night. Drunks would come in and out, and I would say hello to them. They'd say hello to me, just playing there in the street in Beaumont, Texas. Go back home and chase another rat that I heard rustling around in some back closet. Pretty bad, wasn't it? And you know what? I think now I'm doing just fine right now. Financially, I'm a retired Air Force officer. I don't have a lot of money, but I'm doing okay. I'm eating well, probably too well. Wanda probably needs to put me on a big diet here. But that's another story. I don't want to tell you about that. No, you don't write an encourager on that. She has enough encouragement. She's got me on salads and everything else. Oh, I'll tell you, I'm just eating pitifully here. Just when you have enough money to buy food, your wife takes it away from you and makes you eat green salads. It must be because she loves me. Well, that must be like God sometimes. You say, well, God wouldn't make anybody sick, but he'll sure allow you to get sick. Paul got sick in the Bible. Said a thorn in his flesh. Isn't that interesting? But he said, you know, that he asked God to relieve him of that. You know what God said? No. Because when you are weak, then you'll call out to me. You'll call on my strength. And you know what Paul said? Basically, he said, when I'm the weakest, then I'm the strongest because I've got Jesus. I wonder about that. If I had just everything perfect in my body and I looked like Charles Atlas, I probably wouldn't be praying quite as hard as I've been praying lately, I'll tell you. And if I hadn't been born poor and in poverty through some very bad conditions, I wouldn't have pity on poor people today. But I do. I really do. I understand it when a widow or somebody on Social Security sends this ministry a love gift of $2 or $5, I understand it comes not out of their surplus. It comes out of their hide. It comes out of the meat that they need. Now, I don't like that a lot. I don't want you to go without food. I don't want you to go without shelter and give to this ministry. Please make sure your basic essentials are taken care of. Once that's over, if you can afford, then give. And let me tell you something. You don't know how much I understand and I appreciate that. It's a sacrifice. For a man who has a job making $80,000 a year, it may not be a sacrifice to give $500 to a ministry. Not that we get a lot of $500 gifts, let me tell you. We have the little people in this ministry, and I love them. But for a woman who is getting $500 or $600 on Social Security, or a man, an elderly man, and that's all they have, if they give $5 or $10, that's a big hunk. And someday I'm going to give a sermon, because all of you already know it, but maybe there's more treasure there to be found about the widow with her little mite. Who gave, and how much credit, how much reward she got for that. Now again, I'm not encouraging you if you're on Social Security or you're desperate or your children don't have milk. Please, please don't send your money to us. You keep that and take care of your basic needs. I'm just saying there's some people who do sacrifice, and I really appreciate that, and God does too. But please be very, very judicious. Right now we're able to pay our bills. You know, I'm not one of these guys that says, oh, woe is us every week. You know, if you don't give us money in this ministry, we're going to be off the air. I don't do that, do I? We're going to be on the air till Jesus comes. I am convinced of that. We're going to be on the air, not because we have a lot of money, but because I think Jesus wants us to be here. enough of all of that. And let me tell you something. We've got a mighty song here. Did you know that Jesus is going to come back again? Well, my friend Johnny Ray Watson has a song for you. It's called The King is Coming. And after that, we've only got about 10 or 12 minutes, but I hope to get in some more on the tears of Jesus. But first, think about it. When you listen to this song, I love it. It's majestic. It's majestic. Hey, if you're not in a wheelchair, even if you are, would you get up and just dance a little bit? Just jump up and down just a little bit. And I'm not a charismatic at all. I'm really not. But I tell you, when I think about the King is coming, I want to jump. Okay, here is Johnny Ray Watson. And I'll be back with part two of The Tears of Jesus right after Johnny sings.
No more traffic in the streets. All the bills too are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewife, cease your labor. In the courtrooms, no more debate. Work on earth has now suspended. As a king comes to the gate, happy faces line the hallways. Those lives have been redeemed. Broken homes he has mended. Those from prison he set free. Little children and the aged. Hand in hand, stand all alone. Those are crippled, broken, ruined. Clad in garments, white as snow. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding. And now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. I can hear the chariots rumble. And I can see the marching throne and the flurry of God's trumpets spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding, heaven's grand stand now in place. Oh, heaven's choir is now assembled. As they sing, amazing grace. Oh, the King is coming. Oh, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding. And now his face I see.
About this. And we want to start with the Gospel of Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 10. The Gospel of Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 10. Jesus says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why he came. All right, we start off with that verse 10. Verse 11 says, "And as they heard these things, he added, and spake a parable, because he was nigh, that is close, to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Oh, they believed that he was going to go into Jerusalem and grab his throne, make himself a king. And I suppose they would all be noblemen. Oh, they would be, oh, can you imagine? He was going to be king of Jerusalem and of Israel, they thought. But Jesus, as he drew close to Jerusalem, where he was going to go into the holy city, and they thought he would be made king, seize the throne, kick out the Romans, dethrone Herod. That's what his disciples thought. But he gave them a parable, and here's what he said. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Excuse me, my friends, the breaking up here over this, it's so powerful. He starts off by saying a certain nobleman, a person of royal blood, a king, was he not talking about himself, went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Jesus Christ came from heaven. He was not of earth. He came from heaven. He came into a far country, which was this earth, this planet, and to Jerusalem in Israel to receive a kingdom. And then he left it. He left that kingdom and he returned. This is a picture of Jesus. He came forth as Emmanuel, God with us. He came forth as the King, but they would have him not. And then he left us. He ascended into the clouds. Which way exactly he will return from the clouds to earth again and appear, and he will be king. Here is a nobleman who came from a far country, heaven, for his kingdom. And then he left, but he will return, Jesus says. And he called his, verse 13 says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. My friends, God gives us certain gifts, talents, including money, because that's what this money symbolizes, the things that man has to accomplish the mission of God. And he tells each of us, occupy till I come. He says, I'm going to leave and I'm going to return. Until then, while you're here, I want you to occupy till I come, and I'm going to give you certain things to allow you to occupy. Okay, now I want you to understand something. He called his servants, 10 servants, and he gave each of them 1 pound. And he said unto them, occupy till I come. Please understand, these were his servants. You and I are God's servants if we believe in Jesus Christ and trust Him and are born again through faith. We are His servants. And He is saying to each of us, occupy till I come. We are His servants. I want you to understand. You are a servant. You are a bond slave. Now you're either in slavery to Jesus or to the devil. Please understand me. You are not your own man or woman. You are a bond servant, a slave to the devil or to God. Which is it? Which is it? In this case, these were servants of God. They were born again. They believed in Him. They worshiped Him. They recognized Him as their King and Master and Lord. Servants. There's no doubt about it. They were servants. They were true Christians. Verse 14 says, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now I want to distinguish, my friends, the servants from the citizens. Here on earth today, there are servants of the Lord Jesus, and everyone who is not a servant of God is a citizen of this world. But you and I, if you are a servant of God, a bondservant, a slave to God, you are not a citizen of earth, not of the earthly Jerusalem, but of the heavenly Jerusalem. You are a citizen of heaven. You are situated in heavenly places, Paul said. I want to distinguish very carefully for you here the servant from the citizen of the world. There is the earthly Jerusalem and there's the heavenly Jerusalem. Which are you a citizen of? If you're a citizen of the heavenly Jerusalem, you're a servant of God. Believe me, God will have nobody in his heavenly Jerusalem who is not willing and obedient and able to serve him. But as for the others, the citizens of this world, they will not serve God. They say, no, we hate God. We hate Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And after Jesus left, after he was crucified and rose to heaven, what did the Jews say? They sent a message after him. And my friends, the Jews for 2,000 years have been sending a message toward heaven and saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And today, the citizens of this earth and the rulers of this earth and even of the earthly Jerusalem that is now in the Middle East, they still are sending a message toward heaven and saying, we will not have this man rule over us.
Please tune in to Bible Home Church next week as Pastor Mars continues his fascinating series on the tears of Jesus.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.